Welcome again to week three of online church here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Thanks for listening the past 2 weeks. Thanks for your likes. Thanks for the comments you've made. Thanks for sharing our posts. We greatly appreciate that. It's amazing. God's being honored in different ways with the technology that we have, online church. Well, today is Palm Sunday. This begins Holy Week, and we sure feel out of place because we cannot be together this week. So it's the first time in 2,000 years history, it seems like we have to do Holy Week separately. So thanks for being a part of this service. Here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship on Good Friday night, we're going to have online church service again. And then we're planning a special service for online church Easter Sunday. Today, I would like to give a simple traditional message about Palm Sunday. All four Gospels record the events of that day. But my text today is going to be from Mark's account, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The title of my message is Palm Sunday, the Parade for the King. As we look at this event, my question is why? Why in the world did we have this strange parade? Why is this parade that Jesus had on this Palm Sunday so important? And what does it mean to us today, 2,000 years later? Well, first of all, let me state this. Palm Sunday begins the most important week of all of history. Palm Sunday is the entrance ramp to the road to Calvary. Palm Sunday begins this Sunday where a whole lot of events took place the following 8 days. There are 8 days that give us the story of Christ's love, of Christ's passion. We see His story. We see the story of our redemption being displayed for us. And each day of that week fills in the details of the unfolding greatest story ever told. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world. Palm Sunday, we could call the day of dedication. That Monday, we could call the day of authority. That Tuesday, we could call the day of controversy. Wednesday, we could call the day of rest. Thursday was the day of preparation. Friday was the day of suffering and death. Saturday was a day of despair. But Sunday, then came Sunday. Sunday is a day of victory, the day of triumph. 8 days where the plan of salvation that was ordained before the beginning of time was fulfilled, those 8 days. And it begins on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday sets the events for the most important events of history. It set the stage. Powerful events that changed our lives. The procession that took place on that Palm Sunday is almost like the inauguration of a president or the coronation of a king, where the person is presented to the people as their leader. And here in this parade, this triumphal entry, Jesus is presented to the Jews as the King of the Jews, and to us as the Savior of the world. Again, this message is entitled Palm Sunday, the Parade of the King. I have three basic points of this text, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The first point is found in verses 1 through 6, where we see the preparation of the King. Let me read the account for you. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." Well, they went their way and found a colt tied by the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They spoke to them just as Jesus told them, and they gave them permission. Here we have the preparation for the parade, the preparation of the king. Jesus had been in the town of Bethany. Bethany was the home, as you know, of Mary and Martha and the new alive again Lazarus. He spent the Sabbath day there. Mary anointed Jesus' feet with oil and washed his feet with her hair. John chapter 12 records that. And Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. On this Sunday, as they made their way towards Jerusalem, the next town was Bethpage. And Jesus sent two of his disciples into Bethpage to get a donkey colt with instructions of where to find him and what to say. And sure enough, they found the colt just as they were told. And sure enough, when they asked, "Why are you taking the colt?" they gave the answer, "The Lord has need of it." And sure enough, they had permission to take the colt. The Lord had need of it. Preparation required a donkey colt, an unbroken donkey colt. Now, contrary to what we think about donkeys today, back then, the donkey was the four-wheel drive all-terrain vehicle of Jesus' day. It was very valuable for use in rugged country. It was versatile for packing and for riding. In fact, a person's wealth was measured by how many donkeys they had. Also in the Middle Eastern culture, the donkey was a symbol of peace. A horse was more of a symbol of war. In Revelation, we read that Jesus is going to come again the second time riding a horse. Here, he comes into Jerusalem riding a donkey. He comes as the King of the Jews, but he comes as the Prince of Peace as well. 500 years before Jesus took this ride, it was predicted. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of the donkey." And every detail of that prophecy was fulfilled that Sunday. Jesus comes into Jerusalem in triumph. He comes in as the king. He is just and endowed with salvation, and he is humble and mounted on a donkey. He comes in really as the Prince of Peace, not as a captain of an army, but his kingdom is one of peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said the night before his crucifixion, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "For he himself is our peace. In Christ we find peace." And being the Prince of Peace is a fulfillment of another prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of the titles given to Jesus is exactly that. He is to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be our peacemaker. He came to give us peace. And that presentation to that crowd, he comes as their king, their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he also comes to give us peace. Peace with God, the peace of God, the peace with others we can have through Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is great is that because of the events of Holy Week, because Christ is the Prince of Peace, all of us today can have that peace in our life. That's what Palm Sunday can mean to us. The Prince of Peace is our Prince of Peace. Jesus the King is our King. We can have peace with God. We can have the peace of God. One of the tracks that I use is the Billy Graham track, Steps to Peace with God. You can Google it and you can find the steps that are there. There's basically four. And they go like this. The first step to peace with God is God has a purpose, which is to give us peace and to give us life. I came that you may have life and that abundantly. Our problem, number two, is sin. We are separated from God. The Bible makes that clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Point number three, step number three, is God's bridge is Christ's cross. Through the cross, we have salvation. Through the shed blood of Christ, we have salvation. Christ paid for our sin on the cross. We are reminded of that on Good Friday. Christ paid our price. And number four, step number four, is our response. It's to simply receive Christ as Savior. To those who believe in His name shall be saved. So the preparation of the king shows us that Jesus is our king. He is our prince. He rides on this donkey, a symbol of peace, to give us peace with Him. Peace with others. So Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus came for you and for me. Have you accepted the gift of salvation? I trust that you have. If not, today is the day of salvation. Christ needs to make a triumphal entry into your life. You need to crown Him as your King, as your Savior, and as your Lord. So the first point, verses 1 through 6, is the preparation of the King. The second point is in verses 7 and 8, the presentation of the King. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and He sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Bethpage was about a half mile from Jerusalem. There the parade begins. And you look at the nature of this parade. It looked rather crude by our means. Even in that day, it lacked a lot of pageantry. The entourage consisted of no royalty, no VIPs, no dignitaries. There wasn't a single Jewish leader mentioned. There was no Roman official leading the parade. It was just 12 rough men, a group of converted outcasts, and a whole lot of common folks. Really, not much to show for it. Now, we understand that today, when you have a parade, you got to have VIPs. Here in Jasper County, one of the major parades that takes place every year is in Colfax. It's the Jasper County Fair Parade. And we live in Colfax, and for the last 22 years, part of our summer tradition has been either to watch or be a part of the Jasper County 4-H Fair Parade. And there's a lot of VIPs there. There is the county commissioners who will walk the parade. Sometimes our local senators or representatives are there. Of course, the fair queens are being chauffeured in that parade, and the fair princesses are being chauffeured as well. They're the VIPs, and of course, it's in Colfax, which means the mayor of Colfax gets to ride in a car. And for a long time, the parade was sponsored by the Colfax Kiwanis. And I was a member of the Colfax Kiwanis, and for 1 year, I was the president, and I got to ride in the parade as a dignitary. It was rather fun. I did the traditional wave. And kind of fun, but kind of nerve-wracking as well. So you got to have a parade, you got to have VIPs. Jesus was the only VIP in this parade. He was their king. He was the King of Jews. So this parade begins at Bethpage, and it goes over the Mountain of Olives, and it comes down a road towards Jerusalem, a broad road, a well-traveled road. It was lined with fig trees and palm trees. He had a very magnificent view of Jerusalem. And probably the closer they got to Jerusalem, the larger the crowds became, and the road, obviously, the scripture tells us, was carpeted with clothes. It was carpeted with branches. And during Jewish holy feasts, pilgrims would also journey this same route. And periodically a king would be welcomed into Jerusalem this same way. But this Sunday, the legitimate king for the nation of Israel did come. And a parade was given. And the Jewish nation met their King of Kings. And then look at the proclamation, third point, verses 9 and 10. Look what they shouted, look what they said. In this proclamation, verse 9, verse 10 says, "Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Hosanna means 'save now, we pray.'" It was not as much a praise as a desire for a Savior, as a desire for the Messiah. "Hosanna, save us," the people shouted. And then they quoted fragments from Psalms 118, verses 25 and 26. Those verses in full read this: O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. And they took some phrases from that, and they chanted those phrases as Jesus came in. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then they even added, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And Jesus was the rightful heir to the father David's throne. They were looking for a king. Hosanna in the highest. A call to God in the highest heavens to save them. Now they prayed. And for one brief moment in Jewish history, they acknowledged their rightful heir to the throne. Think about that. For one brief moment, Jesus was of the royal family. He was of the line of David. The people cheered him as their king, even though they probably did not fully understand what that meant. Not even the disciples at that time fully understand what this all meant. But Jesus was the Messiah for the Jewish people, sent from God to save them. He was the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And Jesus, this lowly carpenter, was hailed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the essays that's been written about the life of Christ is called One Solitary Life. It goes like this. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 years old when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves where he was dying. His executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. And when he died, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. It is well within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as that one solitary life. Great account. The name of Jesus is the greatest name of all. He is incomparable. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Savior of the world. And Palm Sunday was that parade that showed to them their legitimate ruler, our Savior. And we must receive him in joy. We must declare as well, Hosanna, save now, because he does save us now. And that whole week was his plan of salvation to save us. So Palm Sunday, 33 AD, is history. The preparations of the king were perfect. The presentation of the king was very picturesque. And the proclamation of the king was prophetic. Palm Sunday did show us Jesus the King, divine and righteous, our King. And that week showed us who we are. It showed what mankind was like. It showed that we were needful and sinful and desperate for a Savior. That's why the King had to suffer and to die. The King did fulfill, Hosanna, now we pray. He did fulfill on the cross the ability, the power to save us from our sins and to give us life, abundant and eternal. This week, He became the king of our life, the Prince of Peace. Is he your Prince of Peace? Is he the king of your life? I guess the questions we need to ask this Palm Sunday 2020 are these. Indeed, is Jesus your Savior? Has there been a point in your life when you made a decision to accept Christ? Has there been a point in your life where you acknowledged that you were a sinner? You needed a Savior. You invited Christ to come in. Have you accepted that gift of forgiveness that Jesus offers us freely? Do you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he rule and reign in your life? Do you have peace that can get you through this coronavirus that we're experiencing? Do you have peace that there is a home for you in heaven, prepared, ready for you? Right now in our history at this time, this corona history virus time, we are reminded of our human frailty. Folks, we do not know the future at all. It is hard for us to even plan for this week. I've appreciated the people in the news that have communicated the gospel, and we've heard that every once in a while the news will share what somebody says about the gospel, about the meaning of Holy Week. Rejoice in that. And it's amazing, we see churches doing what they're doing with online church and other ways to minister to people at this time. The gospel of Jesus Christ that was given to us beginning Palm Sunday, that Holy Week, that gospel is the good news that we need in a bad news world. And we need it desperately now. And here is the good news. Christ came. This Holy Week reminds us, when the news all around us is in despair, this Holy Week reminds us that the good news long ago was Hosanna, save now. He comes in the name of the Lord and he is to be blessed. And so on this Palm Sunday, we can rejoice that we have hope. We can rejoice that God loves us. God sent Christ to be our Savior. This week reminds us of the high price that God paid in Christ for the free gift of salvation. Jesus has come. John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." That is great news on Palm Sunday. God bless you this week. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of our service today.